What's going on, everybody? Today, we have a special guest. I got a special guest for you suckers. All right? We got Emma Golden calling in from ESPN Cleveland. All right? And I'm aged. I'm so hyped right now because I've been listening to Emmett for years now. And I'm a huge fan of him. And now I get to have him on my podcast. That's right. And I don't know if that's something that I should be proud of, but I am proud of it because we grew the podcast, babies. And I don't know how much Indians and Browns we're going to be talking, but we are going to definitely be talking Cavs. All right, we're going to be talking Cavs offseason. We're going to be talking LeBron. We're going to be talking LeBron. And we're going to be talking probably LeBron Decision 3.0, okay? I'm really excited. It might not be that long of a podcast just because he's pretty busy tonight. So I'm going to have him give us a call in here real shortly, and we'll get right into it, all right? What's going on, guys? I hope you guys are ready for this episode. I'm ready for this episode. I'm going to pause the podcast here, and then I will pick it back up once Emmett gives us a call, all right? Stay tuned. All right, we are back. I'm joined by Emmett Golden. He is the co-host of The Next Level. And real quick, I remember when it was Rizzo and Gerard, and you would fill in when Rizzo was out, and me and my buddies would always be like, dude, Gerard and Emmett need their own show together at some point in the day, and now you guys do. That's
yeah, I mean, it's great, man. I used to tell Gerard, like, years ago, you know, if people really, like, listen to the station for a while, you know, we X's and O's with the pros, you know, I used to do some stuff with them, then 3D, then Hooley and Gerard.
Yeah.
And I always felt like me and Gerard had a really good chemistry, and I would tell him, like, man, we'll get on our show one day, like, I could feel it. And it ended up, you know, happening with The Next Level, so I just think people could feel that, you know, that chemistry, and just, you know, we hit off, we're really friends, so I think that comes from all.
Yeah, that definitely, you could tell that you guys have, like, some kind of chemistry going on. But I want to start off by asking, what's the deal with your Twitter talking about your magnificent giraffe?
Oh, all right. So, and this was during Uli and Gerard, because I used to produce that show. We had Carlos Dansby on one day, and I think it was Bruce asked Carlos, like, what would you say to people who, you know, would say, yeah, you're just coming to the Browns to, you know, to cash a check. And his response was the greatest response I ever heard. And he said, listen, I'm a giraffe, man, and I'm eating from the top of the trees. So all your rabbits and turtles that say I'm too old and I'm just grabbing checks, I can't hear you. And I love that response. So ever since then, I've taken on that. And live by that, you know what, I'm a giraffe, and I'm eating from the top of the trees, man. I'm not worried about, you know, the stuff that's going on at ground level.
I love it. We should all live our lives as magnificent giraffes.
Absolutely.
What do you think about the people that, like, are talking shit about Colin Sexton wearing number 2, taking Kyrie's number?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody has their, like, opinion, and it's great for our business, for people to feel different ways. Like, if everybody felt the same, all our shows would suck. There wouldn't be anything to talk about. So, I mean, I get it. I don't agree with it. You know what I mean?
Good.
Hey, Kyrie didn't want to wear that number anymore for the Cavs. You know, his contract wasn't over. He forced his way out of Cleveland, so you know, maybe 20 years from now, maybe the Cavs resurface that and go, you know, or come circle back and go, yeah, you know what, we'll retire that number. But I don't think the Cavaliers owe him that right now, and they're just considering the way he left.
I love that too, because to me, it's like, dude, you wrecked this team and potentially, I mean, cost us a championship this year. I think I could have, would have, should have, but that series could have been 2-2 easily. And then you add Kyrie to that mix. I mean, I could have seen it going a different way.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that the Cavaliers would have won, but it would have been a much better series than it was.
Yeah.
I don't think J.R. Smith has the brain fart he has if Kyrie is out there, because I believe the Cavaliers win that game, you know, fairly easily.
Yeah.
So I do think that he did really throw a monkey wrench in everyone in Cleveland's plans, including LeBron James. So, hey, man, sorry, you don't get your jersey retired when you do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And, that's – even myself, when that happened with JR, I kind of – unfairly tore him a new one on one of the openings of the podcast. But like looking back at it, it was emotional. I was emotional. But looking back at it,
a lot of people still are. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, you can't blame him for that whole game. There's a lot of things going on. But do you think that Sexton pick helps keep LeBron here at all?
I mean, I don't think it'll be the deciding factor. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe LeBron was on vacation with his family and was like, oh, we got Sexton, where do I sign? Like, I don't think that's the situation at all. I think that this draft pick helps the Cavs if LeBron opts in or resigns, and if he leaves, it helps the Cavs. They need it. A point guard, and they need to get younger. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the right decision for the Cavs, regardless of what LeBron does. And very rarely do you find that situation. I think the Cavaliers were able to figure that one out.
Yeah. Speaking of the draft, I became a bigger fan of Luka Doncic last night, thanks to his mom, who is first team all dime piece. Me too.
I had everybody, like, I'm sitting there with all the media, and they're like, man, did you see his mom? And then I'm looking online, like, at pictures on Twitter. I'm like, no, I only see a picture of him and his girlfriend. You know? Like, what is his mom you're talking about? And they're like, no, you idiot, that is his mom. I was like, wow, okay. She just looked so young.
Yeah.
Man. She didn't look like she was old enough to have a 19-year-old kid.
No, she is truly something special. but what players, like, besides Larry Nance Jr., do you think that the Cavs should keep 100%? Like, to, you know, maybe either to help LeBron or if LeBron does leave us. That's funny that we say us, isn't it? But if he leaves the Cavs, what do we do?
You know, I obviously, you know, if anybody follows me on Twitter, they know I love Jetty Osman. So yeah. I would say Jetty's the keeper. Obviously, Sexton's the keeper. I do understand if there's going to be a big move made, that Zizic, Jetty, those are going to be guys that they're going to keep their eye on. Same thing that people are going to want. They're going to want Larry Nance Jr. But, you know, I think Larry Nance Jr., Jetty, it's tough with Clarkson and Hood because I don't know if that was really them in the playoffs, because I've seen them perform so much better throughout their careers. I don't know what happened. They
especially Clarkson.
The yeah.
And then
that's my biggest thing is I don't know if those guys, I think they're worth keeping, but you know, if what they did in the playoffs is going to be what they always do in the playoffs, then you can't have them.
Get them out of here. Yeah. But the only thing really with Hood was like that refusing to go in, like that pissed me off just because, you know,
yeah.
That just acting like that, like a child, isn't not good, not a good look. But then the Clarkson thing, I was all in on Clarkson, and then that dude could not hit a shot in the playoffs. It was frustrating to watch.
And we know he's a scorer. Like, we know he can score the basketball. That's not an opinion. That's a proven fact. He's done it before. But you're right. He couldn't hit anything.
No, it was
rough. And, I give him credit because he damn sure tried his best. You know, he let it fly every time he touched it. So he definitely was trying to score, but he just couldn't. So that was the frustrating part. And, you know, I believe LeBron and even the Cavaliers as a whole, that they believe, you know what, we're closer than most people think. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Clarkson and Hood play like you expect them to, I think the Cavs are players in that series. You know, it goes 6-7 games. So the Cavs aren't really that far away, man.
Yeah. And then, so there's, like, rumors, of course, about, like, Paul George, Kawhi, Kemba. Is there any other, like, names, or do you see any of those guys at all being a Cavalier next year if LeBron stays, of course?
I think it's all wishful thinking, and I think it's great content for our shows and stuff like that, but those are long shots.
That's
because the Cavs just don't have the assets. You know, they don't have the assets. Teams that get rid of superstars, they always do it reluctantly, and they want draft picks. And the Cavs just don't have draft picks.
Yeah.
And they definitely don't have high draft picks as well. They're not going to be in the lottery, you know, here in the near future. At least we don't think so, especially if LeBron decides to stay. So it's great to talk about. And, hey, who knows? I mean, theoretically it could happen. But I think it's just great content for our podcast and sports talk radio show.
Yeah. Do you think – would you guess that LeBron is staying, or do you think he's going to L.A.?
Yeah, I've said for the entire year that I think LeBron is going to stay. And being around this team and listening to LeBron and just hearing him talk about several things. He always goes to his family right away when he's talking about the decision he's going to make to play next, and that'll be a big part of it. He's talked about things are important to him now that weren't important 5 years ago, 8 years ago. 10 years ago, and he talked about growing as a man and a father and a husband, and those things make me believe that, yes, he does want to compete for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
He knows any team he's on is probably going to compete for a championship, so I think he doesn't have to ring chase, and that staying at home and seeing Bronny play at St. V, or, you know, locally here, I think it would mean the world to him. So for those reasons, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I hope so. I've definitely heard you say that. This is the same way I felt last time when the decision happened. Was I wanted to say, like, my head was like, my heart was like, he's staying. But my head was like, it doesn't feel right. But I hope you are right about the family thing meaning a lot to him, because then obviously his family does want to stay here. But I wanted to ask you, how are you a fan of the super teams? Because I personally was a huge fan of KD until he made that move, and like now for me, that totally taints his greatness for me. Even I know he's a great player, but like, even now, you don't really hear people talking about, like, if there's a consideration of him being, like, the best player because of, for me, it's because of that move that he made.
Yeah, as far as super teams go, I'm indifferent to them. You know, I do think what KD did, he went to a super team.
Yeah,
so
that's...
to me, that was whack. You know, it's like, dude, they were already a super team. You know, without you.
And
so to me, that was really, really whack.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, like what LeBron did the first time, I was mad he left Cleveland, but you had two guys go to a team, and that made them a championship contender.
True.
I just think it's incredibly easy and just, I mean, I can't help but say whack. There's a great team already, and they're winning championships. Like, if Kawhi was like, yo, I want to go to the Warriors, I'd be furious at him.
That's a bitch move. What are you doing?
Right. But, you know, if they all go to L.A., like, I don't care. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because mostly, honestly, I'm a fan of the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the NBA. I'm interested in the NBA. I'm going to watch it, and I'll, you know, cover it and all of that. But I'm a fan of the Cavs, so I'm really only passionate about what our Cleveland teams do.
Yeah, I hear you. Then I wanted to – we were going to talk Indians, but you're kind of short on time. So I'll ask you about the Browns. Is there anybody you wish – that they went after that they didn't go after?
No, not really. Not really. I think John Dorsey has done a great job of making the right moves and bringing, you know, just the right guys in. Great job to trade, even though it was a third round pick. I mean, listen, the Browns have had way too many picks, and I don't care about picks anymore. So,
me either, man.
Yeah, was fine to me. I'm like, why do you want to hoard all these picks? They haven't gotten you anything.
Yeah.
You know, over the years. So, but I think he made the right moves. Nothing crazy. I know he paid Jarvis Landry quite a bit, but
yep.
I think he deserved it.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no guy that I'm like, man, I think they really missed on.
Do you think that this team? How many wins do you think this team is going to be at this year? Because we can't be worse than last year. It's impossible. But
it's mathematically impossible. Right?
Exactly.
I'd say I'm gonna expect this team, and I know they went 0-16 last year. I'm gonna expect them to win 8 games. Now,
eight
if they
games.
Win 6, will I be mad? Yeah, if they win 6, I won't be mad. I'll go, to go from 0-6 is pretty good. But looking at the pieces that they have, this team should be able to score some points. The defense was okay last year, and I think it got better.
Mm-hmm.
So that should improve the team. And I don't want to go into a season. I've actually never gone into a season going, oh, they'll win 4 games, because to me, you let guys off the hook when you put the expectations that low. And I don't want to give the Browns a build-in excuse to go, well, we won 4 games, so that was a big step.
Yeah.
Because 4 games is not a big step,
not at all, in my
opinion. So I'm always going to put my expectations high.
Do you see Baker starting any games this year?
Only if it's at the end of the year and the Browns are out of the playoff hunt, which is, you know, probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
So I could see him, again, end of the season. If there, God forbid, if there's a blowout, you know, in a good way, if the Browns are blowing some guys out, I can see a situation where that happens too. So I do think that he plays, but I don't see any point in the season where the Browns go, okay, he's the starter, at least until they're mathematically eliminated.
That makes sense. What do you think about, do you think our running back situation, do you think, there's too many guys to get, I don't know, one of them hot? Because I feel like sometimes when you have so many running backs, that it gives other guys less chances to blow up. You know what? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm not really concerned about it because I believe the guys will separate themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if Carlos Hyde is better than Nick Chubb, and Carlos Hyde, then he's going to get the carries, and we'll find out. Yeah, you don't get to be in a rhythm, and I understand that, but there aren't many running backs that never come off the field.
That's true.
They typically have a series of two off, you know, throughout the game. So I'm fine with that. And I think the cream will rise to the top, to throw out the stupid cliche. Duke, I'm not worried about, because he'll be catching the ball out of the backfield and doing some stuff. So I'm not worried about touches, because whoever deserves the touches will earn the touches and they'll get them.
Yeah, I get you. And then the last thing we'll talk about was I heard you guys talking today on, I think it was the Next Level at the end, you guys were talking about aliens in Area 51.
Yeah.
I was actually reading something that you guys were talking about if there was life on other planets or something. And There was a couple scientists that I was reading about that said that infinity is so big. Like, because you don't, you hear infinity and you're like, oh yeah, whatever, it goes on forever. But they said infinity is so big that not only is there more life out there, but there's an exact version of you that's done everything that you've done in your life to this point. And I was like, oh shit, that is hard to wrap your head around.
The parallel dimensions, yes. And all that, yeah. I mean, all that stuff fascinates me. It's that he was a basketball coach and also a history teacher at Marshall, and he stated it to me. It was very simplistic, and I like simplistic stuff, mm-hmm. And he just said, listen, there are billions of stars, and there's got to be a planet this far away from the sun somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, you know, people in science believe that, you know, life happened organically and all this stuff, that has got to happen multiple places.
Yeah.
In the universe and everything. So it makes complete sense to me. You know, I think it's a fact. It's not like it's not a question at all. I'm sure there's other living forms out there without question.
I agree. And I heard you, I forget who was talking about the Kennedy conspiracy, and they wanted to know about that, but
yeah.
I would 100% want to know what's going on in Area 51. If I could find out one kind of conspiracy right now, I want to know what's going on in that place. Mm-hmm. But,
man, I knew it was some heavy stuff. I watched a documentary one time, yes. And they said, if you clean Area 51, you have to catch a plane.
Yeah.
To get there, that they fly you in and out if you're just a service worker there. And I thought that was amazing. So I'm like, oh, it's some heavy shit going down there.
Exactly. And then, too, like, when people start talking about Area 51 shit, and then they just disappear from the planet, and you're like, okay, what the fuck's, what's happening right now?
Right.
But,
crazy happened for sure.
Oh, for sure. And then, Kyrie Irving talking about the Earth is flat and dinosaurs didn't exist, he is just trolling, and I can't stand when people, like, take him serious when he's talking about that. I don't know, it just bothers me, because, like, there's no other flat planets. There's no other flat anything going on.
But listen, like, seriously, the people who know Kyrie, he might be trolling, but he thinks stuff like that. Like, that's not if you know him at all, and have been around him, or been around people who have been around him, which definitely has been the case, you know, with me being in that locker room and covering the team since he was a rookie. Oh, no, he thinks stuff like, so maybe he was trolling in that situation, but that's a Kyrie Irving thing to say. Trust me, that is a Kyrie Irving thing to say.
I like, too, when Twitter trolls come at you, you feed the Twitter trolls. Like, I saw a guy, there was a couple yesterday about somebody saying that you were a hypocrite for, you're being a hypocrite for something, and you just, you feed them all.
I know exactly what it was. Yeah, someone said, because I made a comment, and, you know, about a guy that was, like, coming to Trump's defense. He was a preacher. And I'm just like, you know, and I'm like, come on, man, this guy's committed a bunch of infidelity. And if you're a preacher and a man of God, like, don't you feel a certain way about that? And someone said, well, you know, Bill Clinton did what he did in the office.
Yes.
And, you know, Kennedy, you know, slept with Marilyn Monroe, and you didn't say anything about that. Dude, I was 12 when
Clinton
got elected. Like, I wasn't voting, you know. And I wasn't even a thought. I was an embryo or a sperm or something, you know, when Kennedy was out there. So, like, how are you going to hold me accountable for that? And what I'm talking about is, I'm not a preacher. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a man of God. So if I let somebody's infidelity slide, I'm not being a hypocrite because I'm not portraying myself to be a holy person.
Reading.
So, yeah, people think, like, I get caught up with trolls. No, they like, I enjoy trolls.
Yes.
Yes. I have fun with them.
I've gotten caught up with Twitter trolls, too, and I've been, like, So, you know, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, if I'm feeling a little froggy, I'll leap and I'll be a Twitter troll. If I get real bored one day, sometimes I'll troll some people. Mm-hmm. But it's all for fun. But reading when you respond to the Twitter trolls, it's hilarious.
I have one rule, and it's never tweet when you're mad.
That's,
you know, so if you see me answering trolls, I have a big smile on my face and I'm laughing.
Yeah.
If I get upset, I just put my phone down and I, you know, go spend some time with my family or something like that. So I see a lot of people go, "Oh man, don't get hooked." I'm like, "Nah, I just hooked them."
Yeah. You know? I like it. Because they, you know, dude, some of those people too, if you click on their thing, they have like 100 followers and they're expecting to tweet this and no one see it. And what you do is you retweet it and everybody sees it.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then.
Yeah, put your name on it. Yep.
So then this person who thought no one was going to see anything and they were just going to act like a dick, now they're getting all this hate back and they're like, "Oh shit, what's going on?
I mean, hey, listen, everybody hears what I say every day. So if you don't say something to me, you know, people tell me my takes suck, they enjoy my takes, whatever the case may be, I'm accountable for what I say.
Yeah.
So if someone says something to me, then, okay, let's make sure everybody heard. You know, and I'm fine with that. We can play the game.
I like it. Well, man, thank you so much for coming on. This was fun. Hopefully we could do it again. I know you have some Indian stuff you got to take care of. So I will let you go.
Yeah, man. Anytime, you know, I appreciate you inviting me on and, you know, just hit me up, man. This was fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely stay in contact with you and we'll do it again sometime.
Cool. Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Later. There it was, guys. We had Emmett Golden on. That was a fun one. That was a fun podcast. I'm excited to have him on again sometime. Maybe we'll get him on again after LeBron makes his decision or beginning of the Browns season. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? This podcast is, we don't know where we're going sometimes. We just go, right? But definitely, if you listen to this podcast, go and tweet him, EGoldie80. I will tag him in the podcast details for sure. Go tweet him and tell him that you heard him on here, so we can get him on again. Please, that's all I'm asking you guys. If you listen to it and you enjoyed it and you want him on again, if you guys want to send in more questions, because I read some of your guys' questions. I just didn't say that they were from you guys. But basically, everything I asked him was from people's questions, okay? So if you liked it and you had fun listening, tweet at him that you heard it and it was a good podcast, all right? So that we could get him on again. We're still going to do this where I'm going to give you guys a song that I'm feeling. And if you guys are feeling it, great. I'm in a positive mood. So we're going to go out with Post Malone. All right. And until next time, guys. Peace. My mama calls, see you on TV. Sunset shit done change ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hating, say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. They was never friendly, yeah. Now I'm jumping out of Bentley, yeah. And I know I sound dramatic, yeah. But I knew I had to have it, yeah. For the money, I'm a savage, yeah. I be itching like I had it, yeah. I'm surrounded 20 babies, yeah. But they didn't know me last year, yeah.